Hi, welcome to another episode of Pault on Power, Power System Design's podcast on the latest in power and power design. I'm your host, Alex Pault, and today we're having friend of the show, Arnold Alderman from Anagenesis, come back again and talk to us about IP protection. So, Arnold, welcome to the show. Welcome back, I should say.
Thank you, Alex.
Well, we're going to make this a regular thing, and I don't want to, I keep forgetting to say, yes, welcome back. Eventually, I'll just say, hi, Arnold.
Very good. I'm looking forward to several sessions with you and sharing that with our audience.
Excellent. And now, so today we're going to talk about IP protection. Last time we talked about IP protection and introduced the topic, why don't you give us a quick elevator recap of what we talked about, and then we can move forward.
Sure. Last time we covered the general overview of intellectual property and the importance that it plays in today's world of electronics and semiconductors. We cited the top producers of intellectual property, and we emphasized the importance of being vigilant for progress and necessary litigation actions.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, in part two, we're going to talk about external resourcing of IP research and analysis.
Okie doke, Arnold. Now, and the thing is I guess we're going to talk about outsourcing it, because if you're a big enough company, have those kind of internal resources, you're not going to be interested in what we have to say. But most companies don't have humongous research and analysis divisions and huge legal staffs and all of that other, correct?
That's correct. However, even the large companies will go outside for assistance depending upon their present resource situation. For instance, if you're doing a lot of work on intellectual property analysis, you can deplete your internal resources and divert them from developing product and new IP.
Oh, that's an excellent point.
So you're confronted with the question, should it be accomplished internal to my organization, or should I outsource it, and to whom should I outsource it?
Well, that's also a good point, because it's one thing to say you need this, it's another to say who can do it. What kind of assets should a company look for in the type of a agency that would do those kinds of services?
Well, you need to work with a company that is completely objective, lacking corporate bias or agendas. This is going to help you when you confront people who are infringing on your technology, and you have to present a case in court.
Well, that's a good point. You actually have to. You literally have to go through it in a forensic thought pattern, really, because you're protecting yourself from litigation.
That's correct. And you need a staff that's primarily focused on analysis and research work, especially in reverse engineering.
Well, that's a good point. Now, I understand you've got an example you'd like to use in this case.
That's correct. One instance is Eltec Corporation. They're headquartered in Japan with U.S. headquarters in San Jose, California. They were founded 30 years ago, and they pioneered this assistance industry.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But they're not the only ones out there. There are other organizations, but you're just using these guys as an example, right?
That's correct.
Oh, okay.
Each company has their own strengths, so you need to look for the company that will provide you with the strengths that you need. For instance, Eltec Corporation has the capability of doing very detailed analysis work of devices and assemblies to uncover the uniqueness and possible infringement. So they're dissecting ICs that may have 18 to 20 layers of processing. They may be dissecting PC boards that have 25 layers or higher, and they're analyzing the construction, the electrical attributes, such as schematic and interconnection, and, of course, the materials used in these devices.
Well, I mean, and Arnold, it's not like you're peeling an onion. It's not an easy process like that. I mean, those layers aren't like neatly clumped together in cute alternating layers that you could just pull apart with tweezers.
That's correct. And in fact, it takes special technique to go down through an IC layer by layer. And once you have a layer off, then you have to do the very detailed analysis work. And that requires millions of dollars in equipment investment. For instance, you need scanning electron microscopes. You need transmission electron microscopes, X-ray, and focused ion beam systems, just to name just some of the equipment necessary for this analysis.
Well, and the other side of the coin is the comprehension of what you're looking at. I mean, it's one thing to scrape a layer and go, aha, it's got X, Y, Z in it, but what does that mean? How does that translate into a circuit? You know, if you don't know the topology of the system and you're scraping through a chip, you really have to understand what the hell you're doing.
That's correct. And the staff at a company like Eltech really has been trained for several years in developing the information necessary to explain what the chip or the assembly is all about. In fact, they can take devices down to 28 nanometers. And they're working right now to improve that capability to 14 nanometers.
Wow. I mean, I guess it's a little bit different when you're reverse engineering something that at least you have a basic idea of the core functionality, but it still would require a lot of, I see what you're saying about the external expertise. It would take somebody who's used to picking locks to pick locks, I guess.
That's correct. And, of course, you may not be analyzing the whole chip. You may be analyzing just the memory section of a microprocessor.
Like, what are the kind of circuits, what are the kind of devices that normally come up? You know, how often that usually are prime suspects for this type of activity on either side of the fence, good or bad?
Well, it's the ones that obviously are of great interest at the present time, such as our RF circuits. There's a lot of wireless equipment out there. Memory cells, including multi-level flash, which is the latest technology. Compound semiconductors like silicon carbide GaN devices and gallium arsenide devices. Power management devices. All the way from control ICs through integrated regulators that have the switches, the drivers, and the control all integrated into one device. Other areas are batteries, photovoltaic cells, and, of course, the emerging energy harvesting area of interest.
Well, that's also a very good point. Now, in a lot of cases, some of these companies are almost forced to give this information away in order to gain technical acceptance in the industry. That's a fine line to draw as well, isn't it?
Well, when you issue a patent, you've told the world what you have.
Well, that's a good
However,
point.
Know-how is a big player in the IP marketplace, so the processing you use, the way you do the design, et cetera, those are all know-hows that the company that has the intellectual property, they should consider the know-how to be part of the augmenting capability.
Right, right. Now, so that would mean that also means that if you're thinking about it from that point of view, you've got to go into a prior art search, you have to understand patent law, you've got to be able to look at it. I mean, a lot of people, their designs are their babies. You have to look at it dispassionately and realize, this is also an actionable legal piece of IP that I have to protect.
Well, what happens there is that a patent search needs to be conducted and analyzed. It's one thing to seek out all these patents, but then you have to analyze them in the context of the intellectual property that is of concern. Also, prior art is very important, especially when you're going to approach the patent office with an application for new technology. So IP and prior art research and analysis covers worldwide patents, technical articles, conference papers, at LTEC, this information goes back at least 30 years.
Well, I guess that makes a lot of sense because foreign paperwork could be a bad translation. It could be an incomplete translation. You have to really understand what's going on out there.
That's correct. And, of course, you have to keep that database up to date, which is a constant effort on the part of companies like LTEC Corporation.
Well,
they have today a case base of over 10,000 actual cases, so they have a lot of information to draw upon.
Well, that's very good. And go ahead, please.
Go ahead. The other thing I wanted to point out is that LTEC Corporation says that the foreign patents, such as the Japanese patents, are translated by machine, and this leads to inaccurate translation. So they've worked hard to achieve very accurate translations of, for instance, the Japanese patents, so that they can be used accurately in litigation.
Well, that's also a very good point. Is there anything you'd like to leave our audience with before we close out the episode today?
Yes, I would. The main point here is that although you may be doing work internally for the research and analysis of intellectual property and support of your patents, there is help outside, very capable help, and so I encourage you to look for this help in the industry. The best place is on the Internet. For instance, LTEC's website is www.LTEC.biz/en.
And what about your site, Anagenesis? You also provide assistance. Well, I mean, you help people find assistance.
Well, we do, Alex. We provide assistance to well-established and embryonic companies that are seeking to enter new markets, to expand existing markets, and to define new products. And we focus primarily in power electronics, excuse me, and power semiconductors. So we're on the leading edge of things and really enjoy helping our clients.
Excellent.
Our website is www.anagenesis.com. That's anagenesis-inc.com.
Well, hey, Arnold, thank you again for being here on the show. We're going to bring you back. And like I said, eventually I'm just going to go, hi, Arnold, bye, Arnold. But for now, I'll say thanks a lot for being here, and I appreciate you taking the time.
My pleasure, Alex.
And I'd like to thank everybody out there for being with us. We wouldn't be here without you. Tell your friends. This is Alex Pault for Pault on Power. Have a great day.